Amen. I pray that we hear the words of the doxology. Again, a song churches don't sing anymore. It says it all. Because all of our blessings flow from Him. Everything that you have, everything that you will ever have, from the clothes on your back, the food in your refrigerator, the salvation that He gives you for all eternity, everything comes through Him and is for Him, and He is to be praised in respect to everything. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to just go on and tell you this. You've heard lots of theories to what this passage is saying, what it might be saying. Some people will say this is what it says, and I think that some of them are incorrect. But sticking to the task at hand, and looking at this in the context of which it was written, we're going to talk about some things today. What we're going to do is we're going to look at a message entitled, The Validity of Jesus Christ. We're going to look and we're going to examine that Jesus Christ and who John has said He was, this whole letter is valid. Because not only because those of us who know Him have received it, right? We've heard the old song, I know He lives because He lives within my heart. How many of you remember that song? You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. That's our testimony. We know this. And those of you who are bought by the blood of the Lamb, you've been truly saved. There is nobody in this world who could talk you out of faith in Jesus Christ because it was a gift from God. It was implanted inside of you. But what we're going to see today is John is going to stick with his theme. We're going to talk about some of the interpretations that people have of this passage, and they're not wrong scripturally. They're wrong contextually. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at that and we're going to examine the validity of Christ and how we can come up with the validity of Christ here is because what John is going to teach us, and is it okay if we put our learning caps on? Can we put our learning caps on today? John is going to teach us some things. John is going to say, your testimony is great of the things you know. Even your testimony of Jesus Christ is great. But it's just your testimony. And what I'm going to show you, and what I've been showing you this whole letter, because you know what he's been repeatedly convincing them of? What? That Jesus is the Son of God. He's been convincing them of this. Let me give you some background without boring you with too much of a history lesson. Because there were the people in those days who they had heard the truth, and they had been around the truth, and here now at this point in time, what they're doing is they're saying, well, because they're being threatened. Have you ever been threatened? You thought you believed something until the heat was turned up and then you kind of wavered on what you thought you believed? The heat was being turned up in the early church here. And what these people were being taught in error, and let me say this is erroneous teaching. This is wrong. They were being taught that Jesus was kind of from God and He did great things by the power of God. And God's Spirit did descend on Him at His baptism because we all saw it. We were there, we testified to it when John baptized Him. And we know this, John baptized Jesus, which we're going to talk about that in a little while when we're clearing up this blurry text that so many people have allowed to become blurry that's really kind of clear. We're going to see that John baptized Jesus, and John baptized with a baptism of repentance from sin, which was kind of ironic because Jesus had never sinned. And John cleared that up. John said to Jesus, I should be being baptized by you, not the other way around. And Jesus said, it's got to be. And it had to be because God was going to testify at this baptism the fact that Jesus truly was the Son of God. It's the same thing at your baptism, if you think about it. Did you know the picture that we create of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is your testimony that you truly are a son, a daughter, of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. But we know this, John was there giving Jesus testimony, some validity. He was saying, this is valid. I'm doing this. And God said, okay, you've been obedient. You went and you were baptized. John, you were obedient in baptizing. And the people that were there got to see a voice come from heaven that said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, that was God's testimony of who Jesus was. And they say this, well, what he really meant, this is what they're saying now, we'll fast forward to John's letter here. What they're really saying now is, well, he had the Spirit on him for a little while to do some good things. But we can't really believe he's the Messiah because it didn't really go down how we thought it was going to go down. So what we have to do is we have to retract on what we once thought or what you were trying to convince us of. And John is driving the point home here. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He who believes in the Son has the Father. He who believes in the Son, we're going to see today, has life. He who doesn't does not have life. So it's very important. We talked about the deity of Christ when we shared with you about his deity. He was saying he is the Son of God. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. And so he's going to stick with his theme. And so I'm going to get you to do that here because this is where a lot of the theologians, they actually, for some reason, allow this text to jump themes. How many of you would agree that the theme that we can clearly get from the whole book of 1 John is this? Love God, love others, and remember that Jesus is the Son of God. And because the Son of God loved like He loved, you can now love like God tells you to love. So as we look at this, let's keep it in its context. Let's read it together. We'll talk about it. We'll hopefully leave here with some application that you can use in your daily life. This is the one, he says in verse 6 of chapter 5. We left off on verse 5. Verse 5, we'll read it so you know where we left off. Who is it that overcomes the world? We talked about it last week. Wasn't it good to know that we were overcomers through Christ? Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is what? The Son of God. Let's keep it in its context. Did you know this? He doesn't change course here. He's not writing a new letter, not a new thought. This is the one. Who is the one? Jesus, the Son of God. So let's keep it where it belongs. This is the one who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ. He did not, keep reading with me, he did not come by water only, but by water and blood. Now, there's lots of theological debates to what this is talking about. Lots of them. Some say, well, water, that's his natural birth, and blood is his crucifixion. And there may be some truth in that, but let me tell you this. It's not contextually what John is trying to drive home here. I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. He says he was born of water and he was born of blood. Some people say they're talking about his baptism and his crucifixion. I'll say this, yes. But that's not what he's driving home here. He's referencing those events, but he's referencing those events for a clearer purpose that we're going to see in a minute. So don't get caught up in baptism, sacrifice, baptism, crucifixion. Don't get caught up in that because that's not the point he's driving home. What's the point that he's driving home? Jesus is the Son of God. Don't forget that. He goes on as we continue to read. We're in verse 6 now. He says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, and he did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Everybody underline that. For there are three that testify. We've seen the word testify in the last verse and a half twice. Pay attention when you see things like that. Very important. He said it's the Spirit testifying because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify. Testify to what? Let's ask that question while we're here. Testify to what? Someone help me. That Jesus is the Son of God. Y'all are awesome students. So we can keep it in its context and we're going to see this differently. We're not going to argue about what's the water, what's the blood. It's going to be very clear. It says there are three that testify. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. Now, I know this. You're reading a King James Version right now. You're going to have something crazy in there. It's going to say something, the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. Go read your side notes on that, please. That's why they put those side notes in there. You know what? Because that was added, and it's going to tell you that. It was not found in the earliest manuscripts. It was not in there. They added that for emphasis because during their day, and understand this, man has been involved. That doesn't mean there's error. It means this, that God, when he sees things like that, he gives enough sense to the men who he is trying to use to correct the error to write in that side note, not found in the earliest manuscripts. Because what they were doing is they were putting an emphasis on the Trinity. And let me say this, there is a huge emphasis on the Trinity running all through Scripture. But in this context of this passage, is John trying to prove that the Trinity is the truth? Because if you use just this passage to prove the Trinity, you're going to be in trouble because what you're going to do, you're going to eventually get to that side note and you're going to eventually research some things and you're going to find out that when they translated the 1611 King James Version of the Bible, if you're a 1611er here today, let me just say this, here's your error in the King James and they fixed it for you. Look at the New King James. The New King James doesn't have it like that. The New King James has it just exactly like I've said it this day. The reason being is this. There was an emphasis put there that shouldn't have been put there, and God gave someone sense enough to catch it so that we wouldn't fall into that trap. He's not trying to prove the Trinity here. So erase that from your thought. Because if you try to use this verse to prove the Trinity, you're going to find holes in it, and it's going to make you look stupid. He is proving what? That Jesus is the Son of God. Now, is he discounting the Trinity? Absolutely not. In fact, he speaks of the Son, he speaks of the Father, and he speaks of the Spirit in this book. So we know he's not disproving it, but let me say this. You have to narrow your focus if you're really going to learn how to interpret Scripture correctly, if you're really going to have good theology. So we look, we narrow, we look intently into it. The testimony of the Spirit was to the Son, because the Spirit is truth. And he says, the testimony of the water was to prove the Son. The testimony of the blood was to prove who the Son really is. We're going to talk about all those things in detail. He says this, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. You know why he adds that in there? Because there's an argument going on. Men are testifying to something different. And he's saying there's a valid place for man's testimony. There's a valid place. But God's testimony is always greater than man's testimony. That's for all you people who go look for intellectual understanding of the Scripture. You find the smartest guy you know who reads the Bible a little bit, and you ask him, what do you think about this? He says there's a place for that. But when you see God testify to something that contradicts what this man's testifying about, his testimony is no longer as valid as the testimony of God. Everybody understand that? What he's doing, he's setting us up so that he can once again prove to us the validity of Jesus Christ and who he says he is. Verse 10, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Check this out. It's going to start making sense. He has this testimony in his heart. What testimony? Who put that testimony in your heart? Who put the testimony of Jesus Christ in your heart? God through the Holy Spirit. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit did a work you couldn't see. And in your heart, the Spirit testified. Not some man, not some person, not your grandma, not your Aunt Bessie, no one like that. Inside of you, God's Spirit testified for the very first time that this Jesus who you are hearing preached about right now is my Son. He's the only way to eternal life. He's the only way to forgiveness of sin. And you need to place your trust in Him right now. How many of you remember when that happened? John's going to help some people here today. He says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. He's saying this to the people who are saying, well, he's a good guy, he's a prophet, but I don't know if we'll stretch it as far to say he's the Son of God. He's saying, if you say that he's not the Son of God, you're saying that the Spirit is a liar. Therefore, you're saying God is a liar, because the Spirit is telling the believer in his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And let me say this, he is the Son of God. He says, he said, as we read on verse 11, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Underline that. It's nowhere else. It's in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Why is this important? Because God is not going to reveal to you that Jesus was a good man and Jesus was a great prophet and Jesus was a great teacher and Jesus did great things and taught great things. He's not going to reveal that to those of you who are truly believers here today. He is going to reveal to you in your heart that Jesus truly is the Son of God. So as we look at this, I want us to go back to this testimony that we see, because he's saying, here's God's testimony. I want to break this testimony down, and I want you to see today that the testimony of God that Jesus is the Son of God was validated three times in Scripture. Validated three times in Scripture, and I know this has been validated 3 million times in my life. But we go to the testimony of God, and we say, and I love how John does this with such wisdom. He turned it back on those Jewish converts, those people who were following Jehovah God, who knew His commands, knew all of His law. and said, Jehovah has testified that Jesus is the Son of God. Because they were having a hard time holding on to that teaching because they were receiving so much pressure from all their religious influences. People say, well, all you preach about is Jesus. It's all I'm ever going to preach about. And so I'm just going to tell you this right now. If you're not a Jesus follower, you don't appreciate just preaching about Jesus and focusing on Jesus, and you want to have your ears tickled with something else or some kind of self-help psychology, and I promise you, you can get it in a lot of churches. And I'm going to continue to preach that Jesus is the Son of God and He is the only way to true life, because that's what John's teaching us right here. That's what the apostles stood for. That's what Jesus Himself testified to. And so we see, as we look at this, the testimonies of God in Scripture. We see this going back to verse, I believe it's verse 7. For there are three that testify. If we're going to establish validity today, we're going to have to examine the testimony. If you were in a courtroom today, they'd examine a testimony. Here's the testimony. Three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. What are they in agreement with? You guys are getting this. It's good to get it. I love it. They're testifying that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's talk about when this occurred. It occurred several times, and like I said, it has occurred several million times in my own heart. Number one, the testimony of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of the Holy Spirit. Did you know this? Luke chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, flip over there with me. Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. I want to read this for you because oftentimes we lose this in celebrating the Christmas time. Pay close attention to what is said here. Verse 26 of chapter 1 of Luke. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Y'all underline that virgin and don't ever forget that. Doesn't mean she was just a young maiden. It means she had never had intercourse. Understand that. Everybody get that? Don't let these liberal teachers tell you anything else. That's false. They're just trying to justify their error. He says, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Why is that important? Because God's Word said He was going to come from the line of David. It's very important. It's not just an accident. He's not just giving you background here. Pay attention to what the Word's teaching. He goes on, he says, the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. That means this: God has graced her. God has chosen her. Those of you who are in Christ, you have found favor with God. It was He who initiated this thing in your life. Understand that. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called, watch this, the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So as we look at this, I want you to understand something. Watch this. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin. Now, all the people who want to think that she was just a maiden, she understood biology. She said, how can this be? For I've never had intercourse. Isn't that what she just said? Because don't you think she already knew that the angel that was speaking to her could recognize that she was a maiden? You can't fix dumb. And some people just want to be dumb. She says, how can this be? She says, I'm a virgin. I've never had intercourse. All you people right now, you're going, oh, my children are in here. Put them in the nursery. Talk to them about things like this. Emphasize that it was impossible for Mary to have a child unless God did something spectacular. But I'll have to explain it to them. You're going to have to one day, I promise. Might as well gradually do it along the way. She said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You know what he just said there? He said the Holy Spirit's going to implant the Son of God inside of you, Mary. The Holy Spirit is going to do this work. The Holy Spirit testifies that He is the Son of God. When Mary became pregnant, we see this, that it was God's Spirit testifying to, this is Jesus, the Son of God. His power to go to someone who had never had intercourse and to place in her this fetus that would develop and would grow into the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was only by the Spirit of God, just like Luke testified to right here on these pages. We see that when Mary became pregnant, we see a testimony of the Holy Spirit. We also see this, that when Jesus was born, and He grew up a little bit, at the age 12, He went into the temple where all the religious leaders were, all the teachers, all important people, right? All the people with ministry websites named after themselves. TV and tape ministries, hallelujah. Because that's what they were doing. They were ripping all these people off. You remember when Jesus got His feather duster and shooed them out of the temple? No. They were ripping people off, so Jesus ran them out like they needed to be run out. Here we see Jesus as a young boy, 12 years old. We know this. At age 12, He was changing from young man status to man status in the Jewish culture. Jesus walks up in the temple and He teaches some things. And it's really not clear what He teaches, but He spoke with authority. And that's all that really matters, because when Jesus teaches, it's always right and always backed up with God's authority. So Jesus teaches, and you know what? The people marveled. It said they marveled because this young kid who was empowered by the Holy Spirit, don't forget that, spoke with such authority. And they recognized it as the authority from God. They knew that because the Spirit bore witness, gave the testimony that this Jesus, this young boy in the temple, was already empowered to preach the Word. Then we see this. We see the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. The Holy Spirit descending on Him. Why? It was a visual for the people to see. They needed to know this is the Son of God. And we see this, the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit descended on all of His followers that day, didn't He? And marvelous things happened, but the greatest thing that happened that day is thousands were saved. And we see this, that His Holy Spirit's power continues to validate who He is today. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you and that power validates that Jesus is the Son of God? I promise you this, when God gives you the power to conquer that temptation that you could never conquer without Him, it is the power of the Spirit testifying that because of what the Son of God has done, you can overcome these things in your life. We see the testimony of the Holy Spirit. He said, the Spirit testifies. God's testimony by the Holy Spirit validates that Jesus is truly Son of God. We can stop there and say argument over, right? Because if the Holy Spirit says it, we ought to just go with it. But God knew He had to triple stamp this thing so that we would really get it. You see then, He says not just the Spirit, but water. The testimony at Jesus' baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Flip over there. I want you to look at it so you know where it's found. It says this in verse 13, as we look at Jesus' water baptism. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. How many of you understand? John had already testified that this was going to happen. He had already prophesied that there is one who is coming whose shoes I am not worthy to even loosen. He said, I baptize with water, but He's going to baptize with what? Fire. So here's the thing. Now, John is here. It's that day. The day has arrived. It says, verse 14, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. He said, it has to be so. This is God's plan. Then John consented. I guess what's he going to do? Stand there and argue with Jesus? We've tried that, haven't we? It doesn't ever work. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. As for sprinklers, He went up out of the water. I mean, He went under the water. Not just for free. At that moment, heaven was opened and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We see this. We see the testimony of Jesus as the Son of God through water at His baptism. At His baptism, God gave validity to who Jesus was. Did you know this? Up until this time, I'm sure there were lots and lots of questions about who this... We saw Him in the temple when He was 12. We see He's gaining a little popularity. There's something special about Him. But who is this Jesus of Nazareth, really, that John is talking about? Who is this guy? We see this, that at His baptism, God testified that He is my Son, whom I love, and whom I am well pleased. So God testified there with water that He truly is the Son of God. The act verified Him as the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sin of the world, did it not? John said, "There's one who's coming." John, as soon as he saw Him, we can read another passage where we talk about in another gospel where John actually sees Him. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He knew exactly who He was the moment he laid eyes on Him. So this testimony gave validity that this is the Lamb of God who was to take away the sin of the world, and that Lamb is the Son of God. So God gave testimony through baptism that validates that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Just as I've already said at your baptism, do you realize that's exactly what's going on? Do you realize that's exactly what's going on? You are testifying to the world that you have left the world and the sin that has held you down this whole life that you've lived at this point. And you have been rescued through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you are identifying with the Son of God through your baptism. You are being reborn, and you are showing the whole world symbolically that I'm being reborn only through the one who God testified to be the Son of God. Testimony of Jesus received validity through the Father at His baptism. So He says that the Spirit, the water, we can't leave this one out, the testimony of the blood. Jesus for atonement in regard to sin. How many of you understand nothing validates Jesus more than the fact that He was the one who shed His blood to pay the price that God required? Oftentimes we don't realize this. God required a blood sacrifice for someone to receive forgiveness. The Bible testifies to that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. That means this. If Jesus Christ would not have validated His claim by the shedding of His blood, He would have been what a lot of people say that He is, a good man and a good prophet and lived a good life. But Jesus went the step to seal the deal, the third step, which is the testimony of His blood. And if His blood was not pure or perfect, without spot, without blemish, without sin, did you know it couldn't have atoned for your sin? There's no accident that God set up the sacrificial law so that we could read it and understand it. Did you know that that lamb had to be without spot, without blemish? Did you know that? Did you know that's one of the reasons that Jesus was upset when He did go into the temple and work them over? Because what they were doing, they were selling blemished sacrifices and they were selling them at a high price and they were ripping people off, and Jesus couldn't stomach it because He knew it was a picture of Him and what was to come. So it was okay that He got angry. Did you know that? Did you know it's okay to get angry? The Bible says, "Be angry, but sin not." Jesus was righteously angry. If you don't watch the news every day and get angry with what this world's becoming, something's probably wrong with you. Jesus' blood gives a testimony from the Father of His validity, the fact that He truly is the Son of God. Jesus' obedience to shed His blood on the cross was to validate He was who He said that He is. Do you know this? When Jesus went to the cross, He went out of obedience. Did you know this? Never before, never could He have been disobedient. You say, why? Because He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Do you understand this? We know this. The Son of God is a picture so that we can really understand this. But how many of you know you inherit characteristics from your father? Jesus inherited the characteristic of holiness, just as those of you who've been born again, you've inherited new characteristics from the Father, haven't you? And Jesus' obedience to death, even death on a cross, proves this. It proves His holiness, because here's the thing. There is no other person in the history of humanity who is flawed who would have ever died for anyone. But Jesus was not flawed. He was holy and He was righteous and He was above reproach. He was free from sin. And through His blood sacrifice, He proved that He truly was the Son of God, being obedient to the commands of the Father. Not only that, did you know that it was prophesied hundreds of times? Hundreds! Before He ever came to this earth, His death was prophesied through the mouths of God's prophet. Some of them not even knowing what they were testifying to, only being led by the Holy Spirit to speak these words. Jesus fulfilled those things by His blood. He's the one that the prophet said would bear our stripes. It would be pierced for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we would be healed. Did you know that He didn't write that after Jesus came? He let us know that the Son of God is going to come. And He testified to the fact that His blood will be one of the things that validates His claim. How many of you are thankful that Jesus Christ was validated by His blood? Because without it, we don't stand a chance of being forgiven. Y'all know we live in an era where churches don't sing songs about blood. This is the truth. Go look it up. There are pastors who say, we don't want to sing those songs because they're kind of gory and seem kind of violent. Let me tell you this. It was a very gory and a very violent scene that Jesus endured for you and I. It was very gory, it was very violent, it was very gruesome. In fact, in that day, Scripture testified, it was the worst way for a man to die. And cursed was the man who hung on a tree. That means this, they hung people on the tree that they said, no hope for them. If you remember correctly, Jesus died between two thieves that they had said, no hope for them. Because of religious pressure, they hung Jesus between those two thieves who they all said had no hope. And in between two people who had no hope stood the hope of all mankind, the Son of God. He died a brutal, vicious, bloody, violent death for you and I. And it's by His blood that we testify and that God testifies that He truly is the Son of God. Why would we stop singing songs about that? Why would we stop talking about it? I get it all the time. Are you one of them hellfire, brimstone, washed into blood kind of preachers? Yes. Yes. And I'm never going to stop being, because you know why? That hellfire, brimstone, blood preaching is the same preaching that you see the apostles preach. That we were rescued, and God gives testimony that we were rescued by the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to stop preaching it. But I don't like it. I'm going to ask you this. Please don't cause trouble here. Go on and find someplace that'll preach what you want to hear, because I promise you, they're out there. They're out there. They'll tickle your ears. They'll make you happy. I want to leave church feeling good. Well, if we talk about the blood, this ain't the place, because you're going to leave church today when we talk about how Jesus died in your place and shed His blood and you didn't deserve it all. You're going to leave here feeling like somehow you cheated Jesus. And you did. Then the Spirit of God is going to grab you like a barbed wire girdle, and He's going to say, and the reason He did it is because He loves you more than anything you could ever imagine. Believe me, I understand how it works. There's lots of you get mad at me now and you rejoice later. I get the phone. Man, I left mad at you. I'm sorry. Did I say something mean to you or something? No, you preached something. I was mad. Don't take it up with me. Guys, if y'all hadn't noticed, I don't give you a bunch of stories up here. I don't pull out 1,001 illustrations for interesting sermons. Your illustration is this. God's saying this. He's saying, my testimony of who the Son of God is this. It's verified by the Spirit, it's verified at His baptism, and it's continually verified by His blood sacrifice. And I promise you, one day, those of you who do get to heaven, you will get there only because those three things testified in your life that that's the truth. So let's look at this. the results of accepting God's testimony of Jesus as the Son of God. What happens? Because this is what happens. Lots of people get to the point where they see all this. Man, God did validate Jesus through the Holy Spirit, even as early as telling Mary that the Spirit was going to bless her with a child. And God did validate the fact that Jesus was the Son of God because He said it Himself at His baptism. Can you imagine being there that day? I don't know about you, and I say this all the time, but I can't help but hear Charlton Heston, but I know it was more powerful than that. Right? And the heavens opened. He said, "This is my Son." We already have in such a short time in the letter that John's writing here, people doubting that. People are still doubting that today. You know why they doubt it? Because they don't want to accept the evidence. They don't want to accept the validity. Because if they do, then they got to surrender their life. Because if they do, then they got to recognize His Lordship. If they do, they have to recognize their position under His Lordship. It gets real sticky when we get to that point, doesn't it? The results of accepting God's testimony of Jesus as the Son of God. You, what He says here, will have eternal life. That's good news. How many of you would say my greatest fear is death? I don't really know what it has in store for me. I don't really know how it's going to happen. Right? We all have those human thoughts, don't we? Right? Some of you want to die in your sleep. Some of us want to go out in a blaze of glory somehow. Right? David Beckham. I don't know what that was about. But the fact of the matter is this, man, we have this human fear of it. And Jesus has conquered that fear. In fact, He's conquered all your fear if you'll just walk in what He's done. And He's promised us, we see this as we look in John, I already flipped to somewhere else, but we look in John chapter 5, He tells us that. He says, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. We can know this. We have eternal life in recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God. Because in recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God, that means God revealed that to you. Right? You didn't do that on your own. So, first result is eternal life. The second thing is this. You'll see this. You'll realize that not only is Jesus the key to eternal life, here's an important one. He is the only way to eternal life. Because here's the thing. We live in the day and age where people say, "Well, I think that all sincere roads lead to God." Let me tell you this. No, they don't. Sincere roads that don't confess that Jesus is the Son of God lead to hell. Did you get that? Let's just ask a question, see if y'all still listen. Where do the sincere roads that don't say that Jesus is the Son of God lead to? Y'all say it with me. A bunch of hellfire and brimstone preachers. Didn't you just testify that's the truth? Because that's what the Word of God says. So the fact of the matter is, when we look at this, He's saying Jesus is the Son of God and He is the way to eternal life and He is the only way to eternal life. How do we know this? Look what He says at the last part of this text. He says, "And life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." And now read the next verse. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." Don't stop reading just because there's a little text right there. It separates the passage. John's wanting his people to know what? That they have. And that eternal life only comes through. There, don't just stop there. Did you know there's other people who probably bore that name? There's lots of Antichrist. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what He's showing us here today. That's what He wants us to see. Why? I don't ever fear death anymore. I don't. I know this. I'm not going to die. I'm just going to change locations. And I'm going to a better location. In fact, I'm going home. Now, those of you who have the Holy Spirit in you, that statement bears witness to your heart because you're longing for a place you've never been and you're longing for home. Why? Because that's where the Father is. That's where the Father is, who sent His only begotten Son to rescue you so that you could spend eternity there in the place that He has prepared for you. So the result of accepting God's testimony of Jesus Christ as Son is that you would receive eternal life and might have eternal life, so that you realize that the only way to eternal life is through Jesus. And then we see in that last verse, so that you might rest in the assurance and the confidence of the validity of Jesus Christ. You know why I have hope that I'm going to go to heaven? Well, because I'm a pretty good guy. Absolutely not. Let me tell you this. I am a wretch.
You say, oh, preacher, you really don't mean that. You just say that because you have to.
No, I am a wretch. Let me help you out. So are you. Apart from Jesus Christ, there's not a person in here who has anything to offer God. Well, you don't need to talk to people like that. You need to encourage them so they'll come back. Y'all keep coming! God must be doing something right. Because all I'm doing is telling you what He said. You know the difference in those little fluffy churches that are so big and everybody wants to go to? Feel good. What people don't realize is this. They don't realize that they're a fad. And how many of you know fads draw crowds? And what's going to happen is, in the midst of all this, at some point in time, somebody's going to accidentally read their Bible for themselves. And they're going to grab their whole family. They're going to go out the back door. The problem with that is there's 20 uneducated, ignorant families coming in the front door. But here's the thing. When you keep the main thing, what's the main thing? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only way to heaven, the one who died for your sin, the only help, the only hope that you have. People are going to get upset the first time they come. And I'm just going to have to research this, preacher. Go for it. You want to research together? Let's do it. I don't go to Starbucks, but we'll make some coffee out here. We'll talk about it. It's not because of red cups. I don't care what color cups they have. Didn't even know they had red cups. Didn't know if Frosty the Snowman was on them. Really don't care. But when the Word of God is clear and plain, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to say this. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Don't argue with me about it because I'm not the one who gave testimony to that first. The Spirit, the water, and the blood testify that He is who He says He is. My testimony is just extra. Let's read what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says Jesus is the Son of God. And if Jesus is the Son of God, He is the only way to eternal life based on what we just read. Argument over. Have a good day. Hate me. I don't really care if you hate me or not. I would prefer that you like me. But I'm not going to compromise the message of Jesus Christ as the Son of God so you'll like me. So what do we do with this? God has given us three witnesses today. Three testimonies today of His witness. Spirit. Today, that same Spirit is going to speak to some of your heart. That same Spirit is going to say that crazy preacher up there is absolutely right. Not because he's smart, not because he has anything to offer, because he's telling you what I'm trying to tell you in your heart. Listen to what he says. Some of you today will receive eternal life through the Son because the Holy Spirit will draw you out of darkness and into light. Listen to the testimony of the Holy Spirit when he says, ma'am, sir, you need Jesus to save you right now. Cry out to him, surrender to him, and he will save you this very day. Some of you today, for the first time you actually looked at Jesus' baptism and you said to yourself, oh my goodness, God did identify him through the water at his baptism as exactly who John is saying that he is. He is exactly the Son of God. And the same God who inspired the writer of Luke to write what he wrote, it's the same God who inspired John to write what he wrote, that he is the Son of God and that there is only one way to have life. Some of you here today, you're wrapped up in the death that sin brings. You feel it all the time. I've been there. How many of you who remember feeling like that before you were saved. You didn't even know what it was till after you were saved, but you were wrapped up in constant death, suffocation inside. I can't explain it any other way than that. And how many of you remember the moment the Son of God set you free and you could breathe for the very first time? Where you felt that weight of sin that was crushing you, that weight of sin that was devouring you, lifted off of you for the first time, and you took a big deep breath and said, for the first time in my life, I can breathe. That's because it was the first time in your life that you were ever alive. Because he who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. And the opposite of life, come on class, y'all say it with me, is death. The Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. If you're here today and you're a sinner, I promise you this, you deserve death. And death is already residing in and on you. That verse doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the Son of God. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? As we close, we have seen the Spirit testify. We have seen God testify through the water at the baptism of Jesus Christ. And we see this today, and please don't miss this, the blood that will wash you from all of your sin. I can't make it make sense, but I can tell you, I remember the day where His blood cleaned me personally. And I felt the cleansing come over me that I've never felt before. And for the first time, I knew that I had been cleansed by a holy God through the blood of His only begotten Son. And you're here today and you say, Kirk, I'm dirty. I'm filthy. And I feel in my heart right now that the Spirit is bearing witness and testifying that I need to cry out to Jesus that He would cleanse me by His blood. I know that He is the Son of God, and I want to accept Him personally today, every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, Kirk, that's me. Just slip up your hand right now. I want to pray with you and pray for you. That's me, Kirk, and I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today, the Son of God, the one who came to take away my sin. I want to ask Him and cry out to Him to take away my sin today. You're that person here today. Ma'am, sir, would you be honest with God? Would you raise your hand now so that I can pray with you and pray for you? Say, I need Jesus to save me and forgive me of my sin. Maybe you're hearing right now. You say, I don't know what's going on. I feel something, let me tell you, someone is drawing you to Him. You can stand there and you can fight it. Let me help you out. You're going to lose one way or the other. Or you can throw your hands up in the air and surrender and say, Jesus, here I am. Take all of me. Wash me of all my sin. I turn from myself and I turn to You alone.